Good evening. Once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, it's getting to be impossible to do 2 hours with Voice of America doing their thing on this frequency. I just can't do 2 hours. So this is my notice to you and WBCQ, and I want to thank WBCQ. They're trying to give us the second hour at no charge just to fill up the time, but I can't do it. You have no conception what it takes to prepare for a radio broadcast and get halfway through it and find out that nobody's listening to the second half or that nobody can hear you at all or they can only hear snatches and bits and pieces. I can't do it, and I'm not going to do it. So tonight, the hour of the time is 1 hour. It will be 1 hour from now on until either Voice of America gets off that second hour or maybe a slot opens up in front of us where we can slide back down and do 2 hours. You know, I regret that decision because I would really love to be able to do the 2 hours I can be much more effective that way, but it's not working, and so we're not going to do it, and it won't do any good to send letters or call and ask us to keep on doing it, because we're not going to. And I want to thank Alan Weiner and Randy Steele at WBCQ for giving us the second hour, free gratis, but it's not working, guys, and so you're going to have to play music, or Randy's going to have to, you know, do her little thing or whatever, you know, you want to do. I just can't go into that second hour not knowing whether it's, you know, it's any good or not. And I never know until I'm into it or until it's over. Like if I try to fill it with information that I've researched and prepared for during the day, I don't know until it's over whether anybody heard me or not. And if I go into it then open the phones and nobody calls, then there I am with a call-in segment, which is not being filled with calls. And because it was supposed to be a call-in segment, there is nothing else to fill that in. And I'm not a great proponent of grasping at straws at the last minute, so... So that's what we're going to do, and that's why we're going to do it. So tonight's broadcast is going to be 1 hour, and from now on, it's going to be 1 hour until either an hour opens up before us or our Voice of America gets off of our second hour. And that's all there is to it. That's the decision. It's set in stone. For those of you who heard the first hour last night, what you were listening to was the first 30-some-odd minutes, actually, total, of the audiobook Behold a Pale Horse by yours truly, William Cooper. And that's all we're ever going to play. The total, it's 2 hour-and-a-half tapes, total of 3 hours. It is condensed from the printed version with 10 minutes of added new material. And the reason we did that is because a lot of you have been asking about the audio book, And there's no way for you to judge how good it is unless you hear a portion of it. So last night we gave you a portion of it, and that's all we're going to give you. We're not going to play any more of it ever. Not ever. We might at some point down the line replay that, what we did last night, or rerun that particular broadcast. But if you want the audiobook, it's $19.95 postpaid. That means there are no shipping charges. And if you would like to order it, send a blank money order. Blank means don't write anything on the money order. Please make sure that you keep the money order receipt, or send cash, whichever you prefer, to the hour of the time, in care of 98.5 FM. That's 98.5 FM. Post Office Box 940. P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Here's the address once again, and I'll try to give it to you if I remember before the end of the broadcast tonight. It's $19.95, blank money order or cash only. Send it to the hour of the time, in care of 98.5 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, USA. For all of our good listeners down there in Central and South America and in the Caribbean and Europe and Russia and Canada, you too can order this book. All funds must be in U.S. dollars. If you're ordering from outside the continental United States, please add 10 extra dollars for postage. You all know how much it costs for postage to your countries. It's a lot of money. So add an extra $10 so that we can send it by first class airmail, and you'll get it right away instead of waiting for some tramp steamer to sail all the way around the world before it gets to you. Okay, the hour of the time, in care of 98.5 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925, USA. For those inside the continental boundaries of the United States, it's $19.95. For those of you outside the borders of the United States, it is $29.95. All funds in U.S. dollars. Blank money orders or cash only. No checks, please. Okay, all of the music during tonight's broadcast, folks, is dedicated to my family, whom I love very dearly, and this is some of my particular favorite music. It reminds me of my children every time I hear it, and so we'll start off with that, and then we're going to open the phones tonight and talk about a lot of things. Have you been listening to Art Bell lately? Something's going on there. This just will knock you flat. I mean, he's at it again. He's doing it again, folks. Boy, isn't that beautiful? I just love it. I just absolutely love it. And I guess I'm always going to love it. Reminds me of my children every time that I hear it. Have you been paying attention? Well, first, before I get into that, I'll tell you that we got our senior telemaster kit today. The plans were missing, so we can't start building it yet, and we couldn't start building it yet anyway. It's a huge model, and we have to have lots of space, and we haven't cleared any place and put up a table in order to so that it can stay there and we can work on it. So it's going to be probably a week before we, you know, at least sit down and start to build it. Plus, we have to wait for them to send us the plans. I called them today and told them the plans were missing from the model. Everything else appeared to be there. But without the plans, I can't really tell. So they're sending them overnight, they said. We'll find out if they get here tomorrow or not. So that's we're very excited about that and ready to delve into it as soon as we can. Have you been listening to the latest scam that Art Bell and Art B.S. Bell and Richard Lostface Hoagland have been promoting on the Art Bell Coast to Coast overnight show? According to Hoagland, well, this all started when a mysterious message appeared on the World Wide Web, the Internet. And you better be listening to this all over the world. Everyone in every country that's listening to this broadcast, pay attention to me. Because this ufology, UFO extraterrestrial threat hoax is worldwide. And it's all baloney. It's a huge, monumental deception. And so listen to me carefully. All of a sudden, this message appeared on the World Wide Web saying that an astronomer had intercepted, an astronomer connected with the SETI program, which is the official program funded by the government and other organizations called the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And the main method of searching for this so-called extraterrestrial intelligence is by listening to radio messages from space. Most of all, in fact, so far, that we know of or have ever received have been natural radio signals caused by natural physical phenomenon which occur in the universe. Many stars are emitters of electromagnetic energy and in the radio spectrum, and all kinds of different things. Some things have been bounce backs of broadcasts that were aired here on Earth, either on radio or television, many, 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 many years ago. And they go out and they hit some planet or some star or something. I don't know what they hit. And they hit something and bounce back, and somebody receives an old broadcast that was originally aired in 1942 or something. That happens very rarely, but it has happened. Also, folks, this message from this so-called astronomer who was working in the SETI program, he claimed, had intercepted intelligent radio signals, in other words, from an intelligent extraterrestrial living society from the vicinity of a constellation, I should say, called EQ Pegasi, or the constellation of Pegasus, for those of you who don't know the astronomical terms. So, everybody in the world went absolutely crazy. All of the real astronomers and real members of SETI were bombarded with 50 million requests for information, which they had to say they didn't know anything about it. and declared it to be a hoax, officially. But Art Bell and Richard Hoagland apparently don't know that, or choose to ignore it. You see, I happen to know that they both know it all, are intentionally ignoring it and milking the sheeple for all they can get. And I mean milking them, folks. This is another one of those things that's just incredible. Richard Hoagland claims that the original posting was in some kind of code, and he's deciphered it. Oh, yes. And there's some kind of project called Project Samson, which is to prepare for an extraterrestrial landing in my front yard on December the 7th, 1998. Northern Arizona. Actually, north of Phoenix is what they're saying. And then somebody else came out and said, no, United Nations troops have invaded Arizona. They've surrounded. They're all around Casa Grande, which are some ruins of the ancient Anasazi Indian culture in southern Arizona. And that the landing is going to be there on December the 7th. It's all lies, ladies and gentlemen. All of it. Richard Hoagland's full of crap, and so's Art Bell. And so are all these other people who are hanging on to this and promoting it and believing it and passing it around and saying that it's true. And on December the 7th, I just know it, I can feel it in my bones, a whole herd of lunatic escaped mental patients are going to invade Arizona around a specific mountain, which I will not name because everybody else is trying to name it and say that that's where it's going to occur, and it's not. Nothing is going to occur on December the 7th, unless it's a war in the Middle East, as I warned you about. I told you war was imminent in the Middle East, and here it is. It's coming. And that's really what's happening. All of these sheeple are being turned away once again from what's real and what they should be watching and what they should be paying attention to. Number one, Arlen Specter, remember him? The man that was going to go after the militias after the Oklahoma City bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. The Marxist screwball that has somehow gets elected to United States Senator, and now he wants everybody to call off the impeachment proceedings against the president. He says it's because he wants the president to be tried after he leaves office and punished then. And we all know that if everybody forgets about it now, nothing's going to happen to Clinton when he leaves office, except Clinton's going to retire on a very huge paycheck, courtesy of all of the sheeple who can't find any law that says that they've got to file and pay income tax, but insist upon doing so anyway because they're all a pack of cowards, and Clinton's going to live very comfortably on the contributions of these wimps for the rest of his life, probably. And that's not even counting the contributions from his time as governor in the state of Arkansas and who knows what else, Hillary's parlay of $1,000 into $100,000 in the commodities market, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, payoffs. Payoffs by the communist Chinese and a lot of other things. And to even complicate things further and divert everyone's attention away from impeachment proceedings, Clinton's going to have a war in the Middle East. He's going to attack Iraq and become very presidential all of a sudden. How in the world did going to war become presidential? Killing American boys and girls now. How did that become presidential all of a sudden? You know, all Saddam Hussein wants is for them to leave him alone and lift the embargoes from his people who are suffering because of this. They have not found in almost 9 years now, since they've been inspecting every facility, every palace, every bathroom, every sewer in Iraq, For weapons of mass destruction, they have found absolutely nothing. 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 Because there's nothing there. Used to be, but there's not anymore. And what used to be there, we gave them. So how long are we going to punish the people of Iraq for something that they're not doing? Any of you know? I don't know. You see, it's all a scam, folks. They need a boogeyman to frighten the world.
Oh, Iraq is going to mount an atomic attack on Israel or France or Germany or the United States.
How many of you really believe that? When are you going to be? When are you going to stop this? When are you going to stop? When are you going to stop? That's what I want to know. Okay, you know, I've just about given you what's going on in a nutshell, right there. Except for one, the Republican Party has somehow turned a victory into a defeat. They won the last elections. They didn't increase their membership in the House, but they're still in control of the House of Representatives and the Senate. They didn't lose. They won. They kept the Democrats from taking over either house. That's a win. Yet the Republicans somehow think they lost. And the Democrats, read socialists, Marxists, Leninists, traitors, have been ringing the bells that they've won some kind of a great victory. And Clinton claims this immoral person claims a moral victory out of this. And now, to divert everybody's attention away from all of it, they got Art Bell and Richard Hoagland promoting a phony alien landing that's supposed to take place on December the 7th. And half the world's listening to that. And the other half is diverted watching the preparations, and that's all you see in all the news channels, the preparations to go to war against Iraq. The phones are open. 520-333-4578. What do you think about all this? Are you awake? Are you watching? Do you care? If you care, what do you care about it? What are you going to do about it? What do you think about it? Has anybody ever called in to Art Bell and called him on this crap when it's happening? Besides the one guy who very bravely called in one night and challenged him on the sounds from hell recorded from a well in Siberia. This well was supposed to be so many miles deep that it's just beyond belief to even consider that they could dig a hole that deep, much less that they heard some sounds from hell and recorded it, and all of the little winged furry creatures flying out of this hole, and a lot of other things. So the number is 520-333-4578. The phones are open right now. And we need to hear from you. What do you think about all of this? What do you think is going to come out of it? What happened to the Republicans? Have they lost their minds? Yes? No? Maybe? Nothing? Well, how about if we ban bread? What do you think about that? Should we ban bread, folks? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. This is Dave. I'm calling from South Choppy, Florida. And I'm a retired merchant seaman. I retired 10 years ago. And I've been listening to you. And I think this garbage of us using converted Sea Land ships, SL-7s, every time they have a little problem over there, which are very expensive to run, and launching these cruise missiles that were never meant to carry conventional explosives, is just a smokescreen and a waste of money. The last part of my career, I was 20 years, and then I served in Vietnam in 67 and on victory ships. We're not accomplishing anything. And when I got out of the Merchant Marine, my last ship was the USNS Denebola, and I was doing Navy jobs as a merchant seaman. And now if you join the Navy, if they don't like you, they kick you out. It used to be a lifetime career.
Not anymore. You see, it depends upon how politically correct you are nowadays.
Right.
It's all political now, all of it.
It's all political, and I was a member of the Seafarers International Union, and I retired disabled, and they've cut the crews down from 42 men to 21 men, and they're not paying them anything. And you're using civilians in Navy positions, and it's a waste of money. If you're going to launch a cruise missile, or if you want to nail this guy for some reason, I understand you have clean nuclear weapons, and I'm sure we could knock him out.
They don't want to knock him out. Then they lose their boogeyman, you see. They must have a boogeyman.
Right. And people don't realize the waste of money that I have seen sailing on government ships that were merchant ships. I sailed Operation Cold Winter up in Norway, playing games with tanks and Marines. And we're not accomplishing anything. And a merchant seaman is a civilian. And now we're not even that. We're not under the admiralty law we used to be. And we don't have veteran status for the damage we received in Vietnam. And that's the situation. And I think you're doing a great job, Bill. And by the way, down here, 25 miles south of Tallahassee, I was copying you after you signed off.
You were copying me after I signed off?
Yes, when they played that weird music.
Oh, you mean when WBCQ
right.
was playing some weird music? Okay.
Yep. I think you're doing a good job, and God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. Let me comment on a couple of things that you said. The reason they're doing what they're doing and spending so much money is because it becomes a substitute for a welfare program. As they cut back on welfare, they create other things that are not called welfare, but really are, in order to create jobs and keep people working and do things like that. It's all explained in a book entitled The Report from Iron Mountain, The Possibility and Probability of Permanent Peace, where they outline creating all of these phony, fake enemies in order to create jobs create cohesion and devote the public's attention to something other than what's really going on, including tremendously wasteful space programs and artificial alien threats and boogeymen in the Middle East and all of these kinds of things. Cruise missiles, do you have any idea what a cruise missile costs just to build it?
I would say it would be something like a twin-engine jet airliner.
Well, it costs several million dollars, a whole bunch of money. To send a cruise missile that costs millions of dollars and was originally intended to carry an atomic warhead, carrying a conventional high explosive in its nose, just to blow up a building, is the most incredible waste of military hardware and government funds that I've ever seen in my entire life. It would be the equivalent of us when we were in Vietnam. Every time we shot a bullet, it cost $1 million. And that's what they're doing. And they're doing it intentionally to waste money.
Right.
That's the whole purpose of it.
I've got a brief question. When I was employed in, ago on the USNS Denebola. It was in Bayonne, New Jersey.
Yeah, that's Denebola, by the way. It's the name of a star.
A navigational star.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That was my primary rate in the Navy. That's the only reason I know it.
Yeah. I sailed AB and also a ham operator. But they were using contractors and to paint our ship. We had a skeleton crew. I was on it 6 months. We stayed at the dock, and I was talking to a few of these workers, and they're on a U.S. Navy base, and one guy was from behind the Iron Curtain, I believe it was Yugoslavia, and he was over here on a green card, and that seems like a violation of security to me.
You know, that's a whole other subject, but they want to get as many foreigners into this country as they possibly can to be victims for the Democratic Party.
Correct. And my union, they back Clinton up, and it's sickening. And the turnover now, all the old seamen, they can't take it. They've got their vested pension and they're leaving, and all they want is young kids who can take this type of work. And everybody got fed up, and now you don't have any more old, when I started in 67, you had World War II and Korean War, you know, merchant seamen.
But and that was, and that was
don't
the,
even want their pension.
And that was the backbone of the experience that was used to teach new people coming in.
Right. I learned my first trip. You know, I wasn't the best kid in the world, but I got belted around a few times. I wised off with old seamen, you know, relieve the guy on lookout late, smack, you know, if you talk back to him.
Yeah, rocks and shoals, we called it.
Right. And by the time I celebrated my 18th birthday in Da Nang, and by the time I got back, I was a good merchant seaman. No hard feelings, and we're all friends. Well, it's good talking to you, Bill. And think about staying on the air, because...
Oh, I'm not planning on getting off the air. I just have to cut back to an hour.
That voice of America, that...
I can't spend all day preparing for a broadcast that people can only hear half of. I mean, that's a total waste of everything that I do. I can't do it.
Maybe if people drop you a note, give you a reception report, you can get a better idea.
No, I get an... You see, there has never been a time in history, unless people absolutely could not hear this broadcast, that people don't call when I open the phones. So if I open the phones and nobody calls, I know nobody can hear this broadcast.
Right.
And that's what I did last night. I opened the phones about quarter after the hour, after 8 o'clock. Quarter after 10 o'clock Eastern time, and no phones, no calls, no nothing.
Right.
And so I just, you know, shut her down and went off to be with my family.
Yeah. I don't think
And I've always done that. I mean, if I open the phones and nobody calls, and that's what I've allotted that portion of the program to, if nobody calls, I shut it down and go about my business.
Right. I was on 20 meters a couple of months ago, and... A few hams were talking. They were worried about the collapse. And I mentioned a few of the Patriot stations, and I mentioned you. And the hams were very interested, except one guy, I think he was a fellow traveler. He got real nasty with me. Ham radio isn't like it used to be. They gave you a problem, too, there in Arizona, didn't they?
Who?
When you went to get your ham license.
Oh, I never went to get a ham license. I went down to get a 2-meter license, but only to prove a point, because I knew they wouldn't give it to me before I left.
Right.
I knew that. I told everybody, they're not going to give me a 2-meter license. They won't even let me take the test.
Right.
And so I went down there, and I went in, and I, you know, fulfilled all the requirements and everything. They would not let me take the test.
Yeah, they gave me a problem.
And it wouldn't have mattered. If they had let me take the test, I still would not have taken it, because when you submit to license, you agree to obey their rules. You submit to their jurisdiction. Oh, I would never do that. I went down there just to prove a point, that they would not even let me take the test, simply because of who I am. And that's exactly what happened. They wouldn't even let me in the testing room. And that's against the law. They can't prevent anybody from applying and taking the test.
Volunteer examiner, they have to give you the test.
Yeah. Well, they refused, simply because of who I am and what I do and what I say.
Yeah. Well, they got on me, but I got reinstated in our society. I won't participate in their emergency drills because they cooperate with FEMA and the local law enforcement.
Yeah, well, they all think that they're really cool and it's neat. And
you know, your show years ago, you described it right.
Yeah.
The young ones, they're a bunch of brown shirts, and they can't send 25 words a minute and receive it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they got their little radio geek handy talking.
I can, and I don't even have their license.
Yeah.
I can not only send CW, but I can do flashing light.
That's what I did on my first trip. I got in trouble for that. I sent AA, we're going across the Pacific. I got a T out the port. We're a bunch of kids, a 6L flashlight out the porthole. The radio operator was a Navy ship. He tripped the CW auto alarm. Next thing, I had this old Mobile Sea captain down in our room and about six officers. He was upset.
Well, that's because you asked for a conversation with another ship, and they came back and wanted to converse, and everybody said, "What are you talking about? We don't know what. We didn't send you any mess."
Well, we didn't know. First trip to sea. Everybody has to be put. I was talking to the quartermaster of the ship.
What you were doing was sending attention, you know, we want to talk to you. And
right, and I told him, send Victory, you know, bound for, you know, Da Nang, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
He gives me a T.
Well, you see, you violated a primary rule of the sea.
Yeah.
Nobody on any ship is supposed to communicate with any other vessel or any country outside that ship without the permission of the captain.
Yeah, the captain explained it to all of us, jumped up and down, cursed, yelled. But he wasn't too bad. Afterward, he let me, off watch, if the mate wasn't busy and there wasn't too much traffic, he'd let me use the Aldous lamp.
Yeah.
On the bridge under supervision.
Uh-huh.
Well, those were the good old days, Bill.
Yeah, well, I sure had some good days in the Navy, I got to tell you that.
Yeah.
Had some bad ones, too, but wasn't the Navy's fault. And until they put me in the Office of Naval Intelligence, signed me the briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, and I found out what was really going on. And then I just wanted to get out as quick as I could. Listen, I got to let you go and let somebody else try and get in here.
Oh, okay, Bill. It's been good talking to you. God bless you.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. The Cincinnati Enquirer headline recently had an article, "Smell of Baked Bread May Be Health Hazard." We'll talk about that sometime. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned your military past. I'm sure you recall, like, during the Gulf War, before it even started, actually, there was an end-of-the-world cult. They called these people. They were in Germany, and they were involved in the high-level communications in the military. Do you recall that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I know a lot of people listening may not remember it that well. They all went AWOL. They found them in Pensacola in a van.
Yeah.
And they said that the world was going to end on August 4th.
That's what they...
90, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Now, they said they were using Ouija boards, and they were nuts, and they arrested them. Well, you know, months went by. I think they got arrested in June or something.
Well, they didn't get really arrested. They got detained, and then they all got an honorable discharge, and they were let go, which tells me that the whole thing was an intelligence operation to begin with.
Well, what was interesting, when the Gulf War started, that they rang a bell to me. So I went down to the library and got out all the newspapers from months before, found the article about them, And the day that they said the world was going to end was the same day the Gulf War started.
That's exactly right.
And I never heard anybody say it anywhere at the time. I couldn't pick you up on a shortwave. And, you know, there it was right there. These people, 6 months before it happened, knew the exact day of the event.
Yeah, it was a military intelligence operation to create millennium fever, and I'm sure that it did.
Millennium fever. What do you think of this Y2K? Just propaganda?
Well, I've said it 100 million times, and the next time somebody asks me, my answer is not going to change. It's a scam.
Well, see, I haven't picked you up on radio in a long time, so I really haven't kept up with what you're...
It's a total scam.
Well, it's a golden opportunity, though.
No, it's only if these sheeple buy into it, because the only danger is the panic that they might become a part of.
Another point that I've noticed lately is that your Alan Keyes, your Ollie Norths, Pat Buchanan's, George Wills, William F. Buckley, John McLaughlin, etc., etc., they're all Catholics.
Yeah, well...
Is that just a coincidence, or do you know much about any... I know there's the Knights of Malta.
They're all members of the Knights of Malta, Skull and Bones, the Knights Templars, the Freemasonic Lodge, every single one of them.
Okay, I didn't know specifically
whether
they have, you know, much connection with all that that's going on.
Oh, yes. These are insiders. These are highly degreed adepts of the Illuminati.
It was kind of sad.
Every one of them. In fact, Pat Buchanan, that all these stupid patriots just absolutely adore, sent out for Christmas cards a picture of an obelisk on the front of the card with a red bow tied around the bottom, which is he just gave the whole world a finger is what he did. I found that just absolutely incredible that. Some people framed that card and put it up on their mantelpiece because they got a Christmas card from Pat Buchanan. They didn't even know what it meant. He was giving them the shaft big time.
I was disappointed in him last night on the Crossfire. They had Steve Largent on there, who's a Mormon. But, they were asking him questions on abortion and all that, which, he has voted fairly well on it, but he said he would fully endorse anybody in any position in any way that was for not only abortion, but partial birth abortion. It didn't matter. See, that's not the important thing. You know, what is important?
Well, abortion is murder.
Yeah.
And abortion is the murder of a living human being, and it will always be murder of a living human being.
Yeah.
And that's that.
I think that boy could go far, and that gives me the heebie-jeebies to ever think of a Mormon going too far in this country.
Why? I know an awful lot of absolutely wonderful people who belong to the Mormon Church.
Well, I know the older school did the vow of avenging the blood of Joseph Smith on the United States, because, you know, that vow has been taken out.
Well, I don't know if it's been taken out or not. A lot of the ceremonies conducted within the Mormon Church are secret.
Well, just
because they tell me it's been taken out, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, but now you would have a problem with the lineage you were mentioning before, and the lineage is connected with that church, too.
What are you talking about?
As far as the Masonic rituals and all.
No, what I'm talking about are adepts that know what they're doing, and they're always the highest of the degrees.
Yeah, they're always
the people on the bottom are not participating in that stuff. They don't even understand what their own ceremonies represent. Sure. They're not bad people. They're no different than somebody who goes to a Seventh-day Adventist church or a Baptist church or a Catholic church or a Buddhist temple or whatever. The common, ordinary man is not involved in all of this stuff. It's the people who are hand-picked and helped up the ladder and reached the highest levels of these secret organizations that are the danger to this country and to all of us. And they, through their manipulation and through their control of the people on the lower levels, can effect terrible political and social changes. But don't blame the people on the bottom because they're ignorant. Educate them.
Yeah, but you know, any Mormon who has gone through the temple ritual has been exposed to, you know, some pretty nefarious stuff. stuff, just the whole teaching of becoming the gods and, you know, being worshipped and all that kind of stuff, you know, it ties right in with a lot of the other stuff.
Well, it does. If they understand it and they're actively a part of the whole Illuminist scam, then they're dangerous.
You ever want to get a funny expression on the face of a Mormon when you talk to them about attaining godhood and having their own planets? I love to ask them, what if the people on your planet that you're God of rebel? Are you going to die on a cross for them? And they get a funny expression. We'll see you.
Okay. Thanks for calling. I believe in freedom, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom to worship at the altar of your choice, the God of your choice. But if I ever find out that you or your church or your religion is taking part in the destruction of this country, the destruction of the Constitution for the United States of America, and the bringing about of a world totalitarian socialist government, you will become my enemy. But not because you chose to go to that church, because you and your church chose to destroy freedom for me, my family, and for this country. And I don't care what you call yourselves. Doesn't make any difference to me. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hiya, Bill. Steve from up around Kalamazoo.
Hi, Steve.
So glad to hear you're back on the air, and after 3 days, they dropped Voice of America on you.
Well, what did you think they were going to do?
Oh, man.
They were going to stand for me.
You've got to be the top of the pile as far as the communication. You're right up there with Matt Drudge. You're even better than Matt Drudge.
Well, I'm the king. Let me tell you why. President Clinton, the chief commie, has called me the most dangerous radio host in America in a White House memo, and Rush Limbaugh read it on the air.
Yes, sir. And proud of it every minute. But
I'm very proud of it.
Back to the freedom issue, Bill. I just got a letter from my Barry County Planning and Zoning. I'm a car collector,
yeah.
And I live in the most remote area that you can get in southwest Michigan, so my car collections and the pieces out back don't offend anyone. But still, I have a bureaucrat, you'll love this, a part-time zoning and planning guy who is a part-time FEMA employee. Just like you said, Bill, they're getting us even down to the local level. I am so incensed. I am just about incoherent at this point to think of the irony that my tax dollars on the county level are paying half the salary for a civil service parasite whose other half of his salary comes right from Uncle Sam to get in to our local neighborhoods. My, so far out in the sticks, it's pathetic to have a FEMA guy come here and complain about my vehicle collection, my rob birds out back, because that's the only efficient way you can do it. I collect 53 Dodge military trucks, Bill, M37s. I bet you have had a few rides in one of those things, the old Dodges.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, that's your problem. You're collecting military trucks in a state known for a strong militia.
Right, and I've had black helicopters over here before there was even a militia because I do collect military vehicles. But even my collection of now, of relatively civilized, 1980s AMC Eagles, they're coming or sending a FEMA guy around here. Like I'm supposed to go down and buy or lease, better yet, fresh vehicles to keep their entire, as you so succinctly put it, money chain as far as all these people and their pigeonholes living off us.
Well, you certainly remembered what I've said in the past. And
you're just 110% right on. You should just be so proud they're dropping VOA on you.
Well, that's what makes socialism work. You see, they have to have a pool of victims that demand to be protected by a huge bureaucracy which serves as the welfare for all of the people who couldn't do anything else or make a living outside of government service.
Boy, you bet. And they collect 2 and 3 times pensions, too, by being selectively jumped by agencies or organizations. I'm a ham radio operator, and of course, listen to a lot of these guys, you know, boasting on 75 meters as far as how many entitlements they've sucked off the system. Well, that's out of our dollars. They're mortgaging our children's future.
Yeah, they're parasites. That's exactly what they are.
Civil service parasites, tapeworms of a free America. Don't ever forget it, brother.
Yeah, and everybody gets so angry at people on welfare. They're not the only
parasites. No, welfare is, you put it, a chink in the chain.
Yeah, that's right.
And when they have a part-time FEMA guy coming out telling me I got to get rid of my car collection, yeah, go lease a Ford. I don't think so. It's just not my style. Carry on, Bill.
Thank you very much. And thank you for your call. And thanks for listening. I just love it when I hear somebody call up and say they've been listening and they've been looking around and they've put it to the test and they found out that it's true. Because most people just listen. They don't ever go put it to the test. Some do, you know. Not everybody's a couch potato, but the ones that do always express the greatest amazement. Because I think they really went out to prove me wrong, and what they did was found out that I was right, and they collect all this documentation. Then the next thing you know, I get a call, and they said, "You know what? I'm just absolutely amazed. I checked everything out you said for the last year, and it's absolutely 100% correct. What are we going to do?" 520-333-4578 is the number. You know what the danger of baked bread is, ladies and gentlemen? This article in the Cincinnati Inquirer read, "Smell of baked bread may be health hazard." And then it went on to describe the dangers of the smell of baking bread. And the main danger? Guess what, folks? It's that the organic components of this aroma, they claim, breaks down ozone. And I'm not making this up. Isn't that incredible? Breaks down ozone. Well, most bakeries are in big cities. And most big cities have a program where they spend many millions of dollars every year to destroy ozone because they call it a pollutant. Did you know that? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Blair Ingram in North Carolina.
Hi, Blair.
I want to thank you for what you're doing. Let me cut my radio down. I've got your Mystery Babylon series and have found it to be extremely valuable. You did one show, maybe 2 years ago about the Baha'i Faith.
Uh-huh.
And you might want to include that. That was very, very important.
Well, we've done a lot of broadcasts that we could very easily add to the Mystery Babylon series, but when do you stop, and when does it become too expensive for someone to purchase? So, you know,
that's a good point. Very good point.
We can't just keep adding to it because it'll reach a point where, you know, only millionaires will be able to buy the set.
That's true. How did you guys get through Oklahoma Day One without crying your eyes out?
Well, I didn't. I cried my eyes out the very first time I laid eyes on the manuscript when Michelle first sent me the first few chapters that she had done. I started reading it and I got this incredibly empty feeling inside my chest, and the tears just started pouring out.
I cried for a week.
Yeah, it's an incredibly emotional book to read. Especially because you can't refute any of the facts that are in it because everything is so well documented.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a tremendous investigation, and Michelle, as the leader of that investigation and the person who ultimately wrote the book, did an outstanding, an incredible job.
Yeah, she most certainly did. I couldn't even get through the first chapter.
Yeah.
It just devastated me.
Well, the book, people are scared to death of it. They will not put it in bookstores anywhere. They will not even put it on the shelf. In bookstores that have books that they couldn't possibly sell in a million years, they won't even take a copy on consignment to put on the shelf.
Yeah, I can imagine. That was one horrible thing. Okay, just wanted to give you a call and thank you for what you're doing. And hopefully you can get the second hour back. I know you don't want to hear that. because you've already told us what you're going to do, and you've never once gone back on your word in the past, I think, 5 years that I've been listening to you.
Well, we just have to do this. I mean, if they get off the air and open it up for us, then...
They're not going to do that.
Well, I don't think they're going to do it either. It's an arm of government that absolutely cannot stand for the people to hear the truth that's put out on this broadcast.
Exactly.
And that's exactly why they're doing it. And it's not just this broadcast, by the way. On other frequencies, they are now jamming other Patriot broadcasts on other shortwave radio stations. It is an intentional counterintelligence operation against those of us who are telling the truth to the world. Scared to death. That's what makes me the most dangerous radio host in America.
What you said, you can have a pile of lies going from the earth to the moon, put one piece of truth in it, and it all comes tumbling down.
That's exactly correct.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
Thank you for calling. By the way, the Mystery Babylon series that he mentioned, everybody who gets that and or who listened to it on the air and got their education listening to it on the air, whether they purchased the tapes or not, is not fooled by all this these baloney lies that they hear from Art Bell and Richard Hoagland and a lot of other these people who try to denote wrong meanings to the symbology of the mysteries. Like just recently, Richard Hoagland said the black circle with a triangle in it is the symbol for ISIS. I defy you to go to Egypt anywhere, to any of the ruins, to any of the hieroglyphics or wall paintings or tomb paintings, and find a black circle with a triangle in it anywhere. It is not the symbol of ISIS. And December the 7th is not the symbol of the rising sun. It is the symbol of the attack on Pearl Harbor by the Japanese, who have a flag with a rising sun on it. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. And Allison, Pooh, and Annie, here's another one just for you.